This is St. Louis Public Radio. Support comes from Parrot Corporation. With a commitment to serving the St. Louis community through local partnerships and charitable support, guided by Parrot's core values. More at parrot.com/culture.
From St. Louis Public Radio. This is Politically Speaking. Hi, everybody. This is Jason Rosenbaum, a politics correspondent with St. Louis Public Radio. In the next couple of weeks, Missouri may become the epicenter of a national fight to redraw congressional lines before the 2026 midterm elections. President Donald Trump has been pressuring GOP-leaning states like Missouri to redraw their congressional lines, and lawmakers appear poised to convert the Democratic-leaning 5th congressional district in Kansas City into a Republican-leaning seat. One of the people who is in favor of this gambit is Congressman Bob Onder. The St. Charles County Republican was one of the loudest proponents in 2022 of drawing what's known as a 7-to-1 map. And that describes a congressional battlefield that would leave one solidly Democratic seat in the St. Louis area and 7 seats that are either tilted slightly or strongly towards the GOP. In my conversation with Onder last week, I asked the first-term federal lawmaker why he felt a potential redistricting special session was the right move.
Well, sure. Jason, as you know, there was some discussion of drawing a 7-1 congressional map that would send 7 Republicans and 1 Democrat to the U.S. House of Representatives back in 2022, and I was one of the leaders of that effort. I think the case now is as it was then. We are a Republican state. Republicans have supermajorities in the Missouri House and the Missouri Senate. Republicans hold all of our statewide elected offices, including, of course, governor. And I believe that we should pass a congressional map that reflects the values of the state of Missouri, just as Democrats have very aggressively drawn districts in other states to try to reflect their values. So I think it's high time that we go ahead and do that, just as Illinois and Maryland, California, New York, New Jersey have. And I look forward to Governor Keogh calling a special session on that issue.
President Donald Trump and members of his administration have been actively pressuring Republicans in places like Texas, Indiana, Missouri to redraw their maps in the run-up to next year's midterm elections. Is that an appropriate thing for the president and his staffers to do, given that redistricting in and of itself is a highly political and not official governmental act, even though I'm sure you're going to point out to redraw the map requires a state legislative act?
Yeah. You know, look, I don't have to be pressured. I strongly supported a map along those lines anyway. I thought it was really foolish of Republicans in 2022 to just assume that there was going to be this big red wave. We know that Eric Holder, after the Democrat losses in 2016, with the assistance of Barack Obama, went out and formed the National Democrat Redistricting Committee that aggressively looked toward the 2020 census and the map drawing process to maximize the number of Democrat seats. In fact, that committee and Eric Holder went so far as to play in state legislative races in order to make sure the best possible map for the Democrat Party would be drawn, of course, for representation in Congress and controlling of Congress, but also for apportionment of electoral college seats, which of course elects our president. So I think it is entirely appropriate for President Trump to signal what his wishes are, but I think it's the right thing for Missouri legislators to do. And as you mentioned, it would be a piece of legislation, a bill just like any other law that the legislature would pass.
If Republicans are so confident that Trump and Congress's actions, like the Big Beautiful Bill or the rescissions or the tariffs, were broadly popular with the American people, why would they need to have a number of Republican states redraw their congressional lines?
Yeah, well, I think it's very clear that Republicans are underrepresented in Congress for a couple of reasons. First, because those illegally present in the United States are counted toward the census, which I don't think is appropriate. Number two, the census itself indicated that 10 states had their numbers overcounted or undercounted in the last census. And guess what? 4 out of 5 that were overcounted were Democrats, and 4 out of 5 that were undercounted were Republican states. Really, I believe that we are just doing what Democrats have already done in the district drawing process, and I think we're making some kind of an effort to make up for the fact that right now Republicans are underrepresented. But I think, you know, you mentioned the big beautiful bill. I think as we see the results in terms of jobs, in terms of economic growth, and cuts on people's taxes, no tax on tip, no tax on overtime, tax relief for seniors, I think we will find that big beautiful bill will prove to be a lot more popular than polling would indicate today.
You indicated that you think that Republicans are underrepresented in the House, but I could point to situations in places like North Carolina and Wisconsin, which have maps that are pretty skewed toward Republicans, even though those states only voted for President Trump by a very small margin. I understand that a lot of Republicans like you are bringing up pretty indefensible situations like Illinois as rationales for doing what they're doing in Missouri. But I could point to you other states that are controlled by Republicans that are also kind of out of balance. So can you respond to that point?
Yeah, well, right now there are nine states of the union that have zero Republican seats in the U.S. House of Representatives. Now, some are very small seats with only one or two congressmen, but Massachusetts is 36% Republican and none of the seats are held by Republicans. California is 38% Republican and only 20% of those seats are held by Republican. Illinois, 44% Republican, only 3 of 17 or 17%. So this process of drawing districts with one's own party in mind, it happens. And it's happened ever since Elbridge Gerry, one of our founding fathers, was governor of Massachusetts. But the deal is that Democrats have been way, way, way more aggressive about drawing maps with an eye to a partisan advantage than we Republicans have been. And Donald Trump and many Missouri Republicans, myself included, are saying that's silly. They're playing hardball. We've been playing t-ball. That's got to stop and we've got to fix it.
If the only thing that stands between a Republican Speaker Mike Johnson and a Democratic Speaker Hakeem Jeffries is whether Democratic Congressman Emanuel Cleaver wins or not, is the House really going to be able to do much of anything, given that if there's like a 1 or 2 seat majority, you could just have 3 members of your caucus constantly hold everything Trump or the Senate wants to do hostage, given that slim margin?
Well, you know, we had a point in this session. I was only sworn in on January 3rd, but I've already seen a time where we did have a 1 seat margin. You know, I would put it another way. In 2022, I think Republicans were complacent. I think we saw a lot of Republican playing in primaries because folks assumed we'd have such a big margin in the U.S. House that it wouldn't matter. A lot of the results of general elections wouldn't matter. I think, look, we see Democrats elsewhere in the past and even at present, like California, doing what they can to fight for control of the U.S. House of Representatives. And Republicans need to do the same. We should not unilaterally disarm, as I believe we did in 2022. But yeah, I mean, it could be I think we'll see a narrow majority either way. But I rather see Mike Johnson and Republican leadership pursuing Donald Trump's America First agenda rather than Hakeem Jeffries calling for endless impeachment hearings.
Would the big threat for Republicans with a Democratic House primarily be that Democrats would be able to control the committee process and bring in Trump administration officials for hearings or things like that? Because I don't really see a scenario where the Democrats retake the Senate and the Republicans are still going to have the executive branch. Is the real concern here that Democrats will be able to more aggressively investigate the Trump administration if they retake the House?
No, I think the real concern is that Republicans, President Trump, the Republican Senate, will lose the ability to govern. We have shown that we can govern with the Reconciliation Bill and then the Big Beautiful Bill and then the Rescission Package. And probably dozens of bills we've passed through the U.S. House of Representatives that I think reflect the wishes of the American people and reflect the values of the state of Missouri. Democrats will do what they're going to do if they control one of the chambers. But the real concern is we live in a time of real challenge. We, after 4 years of the Biden-Harris administration, we lost control of our borders. Crime soared, inflation increased, and really the well-being of the American people suffered. The key is that we want Donald Trump to have a 4-year term to pursue the America First agenda, and not, you know, two years of divided government and gridlock.
Okay, let's talk about how you're actually going to pull off the Missouri redraw in a way that's going to be advantageous to Republicans. And you heard this argument a billion times when you were a Missouri state senator, but the reason your colleagues did not go along with a maximalist Republican map in 2022 is they were fearful that converting the 5th District, which is in Kansas City, to a Republican district would make the 4th district, which is held by Mark Alford, and the 6th district, that is held by Sam Graves, more Democratic. And if there was a wave election year for Democrats that was similar to, say, 2006 or 2008, you could have a scenario where all three of those Kansas City seats turn blue. Can you address that concern? Because I don't think that concern has gone away just because President Trump and Republicans like you want to pursue this redraw.
Yeah, I never thought that was a legitimate concern in 2022. I don't think it is now. One can draw a map, and you and I have seen lots of hypothetical maps. One can draw a map where every Republican state district, 7 districts, all are Republican plus 20 or more. Now, that's not likely to be the result. My current district, for instance, is only on paper Republican plus 13, but I won my election on November 5th by 28 points. So sure, it is possible to draw a map where some of the currently held Republican seats are in jeopardy, but we have seats that are that have wide enough margins that I think it's pretty straightforward math to draw 7 very safe Republican seats.
So I don't know if you've ever heard of Dave's redistricting, which is not the most sophisticated tool to redraw maps. But I was actually, in my spare time, because I don't have any other hobbies besides redistricting, I redrew the map. And basically, to get very technical here, the smaller the slice of Kansas City is, the easier it is to make the 5th district more Republican, especially if you stretch it down to, say, the Joplin border. The problem is if the other parts of Kansas City are too wide in the 4th district and the 6th district, those districts become either a 50% 50-50 district in the case of the 4th district or a 55% Republican district in the case of the 6th district. Am I just not drawing this correctly? Like, is there another way to prevent this scenario in your view? You just said there is. I'm not really finding it from redrawing the maps, basically.
Yeah, yeah. You and I aren't here with our mapping software in front of us. At least I'm not. And ultimately, it will be up to the legislature. But I think if we look at the composition of the various seats surrounding the Casey area, I think we can in the western part of the state. I think it can be done pretty readily.
Okay, so Missouri Republicans railed against what was known as Clean Missouri in 2018 and 2020 because it would have incentivized a demographer to draw snake-like districts that pair urban or suburban areas with rural counties to make a map that's more competitive for the Democrats. You would need to draw districts that are exactly like I just described in order to have safe Republican congressional seats in the Kansas City area. I don't think that you would even deny that based off what we've seen. Is that an example of Republicans not being consistent in how they view redistricting over the past 6 or 8 years?
Well, none of the districts I've seen look anywhere near as snake-like as the district that the Democrats drew for Mary Miller, Mary, of course, being a Republican over in southern Illinois a couple years ago. So the maps I've seen are relatively compact and contiguous. They do divide up Kansas City, but no, I don't think they look anything like what we can easily find in either northern Illinois, southern Illinois, or many of the districts in New York. But the bottom line is politics will always be part of the redistricting process. The question is, while we Republicans watch Democrats making maximal use of their power to redistrict around the country, whether we're going to do the same thing, whether we really want to make sure that we have a delegation to Congress that reflects Missouri values, and I believe the legislature will do that this September.
As you probably know, because you went through the redistricting process, there is an equal population requirement in the Missouri Constitution. Now, your colleague, State Senator Nick Schroer, pointed out that when you were drawing the maps in 2022, you were still using an estimate of what the population was from like the 2020-2021 census, because people had died, people had been born, people had moved since the census had been done. But like, that was a much more up-to-date estimate than using 2020-2021 population figures to redraw the map in 2025. Do you have concern that these new districts may not hold up in court if the people drawing them can't prove that they're equal population?
No, I don't. The law says as near to equal as practicable, and Missouri's population has not changed that much in the last few years. In fact, Missouri's population, unfortunately, has been fairly stagnant. But no, I believe we can draw maps that are fully compliant with the law.
So let's talk about the St. Louis area, which you partially represent. Would you want the outcome of this redistricting process to place all of St. Charles County into the 3rd Congressional District?
Sure. I definitely would like to see that. I mean, we are a community of interest in St. Charles County. I advocated for that in 2022, as you know, Nick Shore and Senator Eigel did. But I'd like to see that. That doesn't necessarily have to be the outcome, but certainly it's one possible outcome that would make sense.
So if that occurred, it would change your district pretty dramatically from this, I think David Wassinger described it like a Pac-Man-esque district that stretches from St. Charles County to mid-Missouri, to being much more like St. Louis exurban centric. So you may add Lincoln County, Pike County, stuff like that. Is that sort of what you envision it from the end result of this process? And it doesn't really seem like it would change the Republican-Democratic split discernibly. It would just make it much more compact and sensible compared to what your predecessor had in the 2010s and the 2020s.
Yeah, right now we have that kind of Pac-Man shape of my district, which is, you know, not, it's contiguous, but not compact. It kind of, with the 3rd Congressional District, my district, wrapping around the 2nd with Congresswoman Wagner having Franklin and Warren County, and then my district going south of that. Yeah, I think it would make a lot of sense to make things more compact and contiguous. With my district, including all of St. Charles and some of the exurban counties, that would make sense, and I think it would make the district more compact.
My final question for you: if you take the western part of St. Charles County out of the 2nd district, and let's just say you replace it with parts of Jefferson County or Washington County, I haven't looked at like the Republican-Democratic split of what the new territory of the 2nd would be. But given that Western St. Charles County is very Republican, it seems like the 2nd district wouldn't change dramatically from that like land swap, so to speak. So it's still in the realm of possibility the 2nd district could be competitive, especially in a bad Republican year. Is that your impression too, or is there like a grander plan to transform the 2nd district into basically being unwinnable under any circumstance for Democrats?
Yeah, I don't know the details of what might happen to the 2nd congressional district, but I do agree. Now it's not really so much that the 2nd has Western St. Charles. What it has is Southern St. Charles, like Wine Country, New Mellie, Augusta, Defiance, and then it comes up north and west and takes in about half of Lake St. Louis and all of Darden Prairie. But those are, as you say, are very Republican areas. So if the 2nd gives up that territory and, let's say, goes down into the into some more rural areas, I think you're exchanging Republican for Republican voters.
Congressman Bob Onder represents the 3rd Congressional District in the United States House of Representatives. And by the way, he has been talking to us from Rome, Italy, making him the first guest ever to be on the show who was not actually in the United States. But you do live in the United States full time. I want to make that clear. Thank you for breaking another barrier for us, Congressman.
Thank you, Jason.
That was Missouri Congressman Bob Onder, who represents the state's 3rd congressional district. At least for now, that takes in portions of the St. Louis metro area, as well as a part of mid-Missouri. You can read all of our coverage of the likely Missouri congressional redistricting special session by going to stlpr.org. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. Thank you so much for listening. Politically Speaking is produced by Sarah Kellogg, Rachel Lipman, and me, Jason Rosenbaum. The show is edited by Fred Ehrlich. Read all of our coverage at stlpr.org. And if you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to Politically Speaking by searching the term Politically Speaking on Apple Podcasts. From St. Louis Public Radio. This is Politically Speaking.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.